Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jennifer. Before I begin this morning's sermon, I want to give you a heads up and give you a little preview, so a little commercial pause at the beginning of the sermon about the sermon series we're beginning next Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent. Joe and I will be preaching a series going through the Gospel of John and looking at some of the people and their encounters with Jesus. And we have a resource that we want to invite you to use during this Lenten season. This is a daily devotional called Breathe, and this will take you through the Gospel of John between now and it actually extends beyond Easter. And these are available out in the Great Room. They're $10 a piece. But we would love to have an all-congregation sort of focus on this. If you're thinking about, I'd really like to have a great discipline during Lent. A lot of times we talk about giving up stuff for Lent. Sometimes we need to add something. And that daily devotional process, these are short, scripturally based devotions that we want to encourage you to pick up and use during Lent. They go along very well with the sermon series. And then Wednesday nights during Lent, we'll be doing a class and a supper with the focus on developing personal spiritual disciplines and doing so in a way that fits you. So discovering your spiritual type and what kinds of practices connect with who you are as a person, how God has wired you, because a devotional life is not a one-size-fits-all kind of deal. So we want to give you that opportunity to learn more about that too. So Lent is designed for us to be that time of penitence and preparation for Easter, to really focus in on our spiritual disciplines. We'll start that Wednesday night with Ash Wednesday, but we want to give you every opportunity to use this time, these 40 days prior to Easter, as an opportunity for you to grow spiritually in your relationship with Christ. We talk about that today as we wrap up our sermon series on ordering your private world. Now, you've noticed where we've been over the last 4 weeks, and if you haven't been with us, you can look up those sermons on our website, and on my blog, you can get caught up to where we are. We've talked about, for example, examining our motivation. We talked about the difference between being called and being driven. The second week, we talked about how to manage our time and take control of time. And last week, we talked about, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about renewing our minds and developing spiritual strength. Last week, we talked about spiritual strength and all that. So we've had 4 weeks up to this point, and this week we talk about the aspect of ordering our private worlds that is perhaps the most important because it orders all the rest. If we do this well, it makes space for all the other things, and that is Sabbath rest and renewal. Now, Sabbath, of course, biblically speaking, as Jennifer read for us, was one of the first creations of God. When we read the Genesis account of creation, for example, we're told that God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. He ordained that day then to be a restful time, not just for creation, but for us too. Remember that in these Ten Commandments from Exodus 20, Moses and the Israelites were commanded to set aside that one day dedicated to God, one day to rest from all their labor. And remember, in those days, there was no such thing as vacation or time off. You worked from sun up to sundown. As long as it was light, you worked hard just to survive. But even then, God says, take one day to step away, to dedicate that time to me, to rest, to renew yourself. That's an important lesson for us in our own time. I mean, we're a culture that is full of driven people. Our schedules are out of control. They leave us with the feeling that we have no time for things like reading or renewing our minds or developing spiritual disciplines. The cycle of busyness takes us to the very brink of burnout and exhaustion on the one hand, and depression on the other. Somehow we've forgotten that we weren't made to be this way. God gave himself a break after creation and taught us that we should probably do the same. Now, the book we've been using throughout this series is Gordon MacDonald's Ordering Your Private World. And I love what he has to say about Sabbath. We're going to use some of that today. But before we go there, I have to make a confession to you. And that is that I am a chronic Sabbath breaker. Any others out there? Chronic Sabbath breakers? Yes. This is an especially deep trap for us clergy, because Sunday is a work day for us. And to find other time to do Sabbath is very difficult. I mean, Joe and I talk about this all the time. We're chronic Sabbath breakers. And while you're here this morning, we want you to feel that Sabbath, to lean into that and to be part of it. But we need to be reminded too. Just because we teach about it and because we're here on the Sabbath doesn't mean we're practicing it. It's like the little girl who was asking her father after worship service one day. She said, Dad, why does the pastor get 4 weeks of vacation when Daddy only gets three? Well, he said, son, if he's a good minister, he needs it. If he isn't, the congregation needs it. But the truth is, we all need Sabbath. The reality is, though, we don't often know how to observe it in a way that is not simply another activity to which we feel obligated. One of the recent movies that really spoke to me about this issue was the movie Amazing Grace. How many of you saw this movie about William Wilberforce and the abolition of slavery? Only a couple of you? Oh, well, we're going to need to show that. You all need to see this movie if you've not seen it. This is about William Wilberforce, who was a member of the English Parliament in the turn of the 19th century. Now, Wilberforce was instrumental in leading England to abolish the practice of slavery throughout the British Empire. This is decades before we did it in our country, and we had to do a war in order to make it happen. Wilberforce was a powerful personality. But he wasn't always that way. He had this kind of life that could have diverged in two different directions. For example, in 1801, some years before the anti-slavery measure was passed, Wilberforce's political party came into power, and the new prime minister was forming a cabinet. This was a critical time in England's history. If you know anything about the early 19th century, you know that Napoleon, for example, was raging across Europe, and the key issue was peace. Well, Wilberforce was rumored to be among the candidates the prime minister was seeking for an important post. And Wilberforce, being an ambitious individual, was anxious to have the post. But then he began to think about it. And remember, Wilberforce was a very devout Christian. Wilberforce practiced Sabbath every week. Here's what one of Wilberforce's biographers says at this point. It did not take long for Wilberforce to become preoccupied with the possibility of the appointment. For days, it grabbed at his conscious mind, forcing aside everything else. By his own admission, he had risings of ambition, and it was crippling his soul. But Wilberforce, being a devout Christian, kept the Sabbath as a weekly routine. Wilberforce's journal during this time reveals the power of that discipline. As his biographer Garth Lean said, "Sunday brought the cure to Wilberforce's tortured ambitions." In his journal, Wilberforce wrote this: "Blessed be to God for the day of rest and religious occupation, wherein earthly things assume their true size. Ambition is stunted." Catch that phrase. Earthly things assume their true size. For Wilberforce, Sabbath was the time to put things in perspective, to slow down, to stop, to really listen to what God was saying in the midst of all this other stuff that was going on, all these possibilities. He was able to slow down and to realize that he had another way to go. We know that Wilberforce then dedicated his life, staying where he was, dedicated his life to the abolition of slavery. It took 20 years of work and constant wrangling, and at cost to his own health, at cost to his own life. But every week he took Sabbath because he knew this was the important work. If you get that movie and watch it, you'll see that powerful decision that he makes to go in that direction. But it was only possible because he was taking a regular Sabbath. Jesus, of course, gives us the ultimate model for what it means to take Sabbath. I mean, if anybody had the height, the opportunity to ascend to the heights of earthly glory, it was him. Often the crowds were pressing in on Jesus. He was very popular. They wanted him to be the Messiah who would change their world according to their expectations. And it was usually at this point, at the point when the crowd was most vocal, at the point where the crowd was wanting to make him the most popular, that Jesus would leave and go into the mountains by himself to pray. Getting away to get perspective. For Jesus, Sabbath wasn't just a prescribed day of rest. It was a way of life. Taking time to rest with a purpose. In Matthew, he talks about how that restfulness makes him more open to God and makes him more open to the needs of others. Look at Matthew 11, I should say. This great quote where he says this: "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why is his yoke easy and his burden light? Because he's taken the time to give that to God in Sabbath. The human Jesus recognized the need for rest and restoration and renewal and engagement with God on a regular basis. That's why he can say, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Perhaps even more, Jesus would show others how to rest. Sabbath was about setting aside time to order his private world. And only after he had done that could he engage others. Notice that Jesus doesn't choose to rest after the work is completed. I mean, don't we get like this? Man, if only I could get this done. If only I could get to this point in my life, if only I could do these things, then finally I'll rest. Or as Joe put it in his sermon this morning, a friend of his said, "I'll rest when I'm dead." That may be your only opportunity if you keep living this way, and you might get to that sooner rather than later. Are we willing to rest? And what does Sabbath rest really look like? Most people, for example, put Sunday in the category of weekend, which is usually crammed with activity. Even if you have a Sunday off, many people try to cram in as much leisure as possible, trying to get in as much recreation as possible before heading back to work on Monday. I mean, how many of you have taken a vacation, for example, and you've done so much stuff that you come back and you say, "I need a vacation from my vacation"? We try to do so much in such a short period of time, and some people live their weekends that way too. Truth is, most of us have consciously or unconsciously bought into that Protestant work ethic that keeps us from recognizing the need for real rest and renewal. Perhaps you subscribe to that maxim that was popularized in a book a few years ago. Remember the title of this book? "When I Relax, I Feel Guilty." Anyone? Yeah. Sabbath, though, is not so much about relaxation as it is about renewal. I like how McDonald defines this in his book, Ordering Your Private World, that Sabbath has three very distinctive purposes. The first purpose is closing the loop. After God finished the first 6 days of creation, God took the seventh day off and looked back at his work, called it good. God gave his work meaning and acknowledged its completion. High-tech people often talk about closing the loop on a project, which means that the circuits have all been closed up, the project completed, and every person informed. In a real sense, the Sabbath day was the day that God closed the loop on creation, which enabled God and us to look back at his work. Sabbath, in this sense, was a time of reflection, celebration, and completion. And so God orders this Sabbath for humans so that they might do the same. Sabbath rest is to enable us to look back on the week previous and to interpret our labors, to give some meaning to what we've done, and to dedicate our work to God, who created us and our ability to do it. Sabbath, then, is a time for us to ask good questions. Like, what does my work mean? For whom did I do this work this week? How well was the work done? Why do I do this? Surveys consistently show that the number one question that people want to know is, what's the purpose of my life? Regular Sabbath gives us the opportunity to ponder that question internally and intentionally. Says McDonald, a restless work style produces a restless person. Work that goes on month after month without a genuine pause to inquire of its meaning and purpose may swell the bank account and enhance the professional reputation, but it will drain the private world of vitality and joy. How important it is to close the loops on our activity. Sabbath, in other words, gives us permission to be done for a while, finished. In a world where there's always something more to do, Sabbath says, right now, you're done. How many of you feel like you're done this morning? Because I know when I'm thinking about being done, I'm thinking about way down the road somewhere. I mean, I've got stuff piled up on my desk. I got a bunch of books I got to get through, and Sunday comes every week, you know, and there's always something happening. When am I done? Sabbath, God says, is one day where you can say, I am done. Worry about Monday, tomorrow. Today, you are done. So if you're sitting there this morning like me, and you're going, yeah, but, there's so much on my plate. Let me give you permission this morning. You are done for today. Next week, be done again. Learn that Sabbath. Regular Sabbath gives us that opportunity. It gives us the opportunity to close the loop on a work week. And when we do that, we can better face the new demands that are surely waiting for us tomorrow. The second truth that McDonald talks about with Sabbath, first is closing the loop. The second is returning to eternal truths. Remember Wilberforce's words. Sabbath is where earthly things assume their true size. Every day we are pushed and pulled by temporal demands on our time and energy. Everybody seems to want something from us. I mean, how many times does your phone ring and somebody wants to give you something? Almost never. Usually when your phone rings, somebody wants something from you. Email is not about people giving you stuff. It's about people wanting something from you. We're always in output mode. We're asked to make 1,000 decisions every day. But Sabbath asks us this question. By what standard of truth do we make those decisions? God commanded his people to set aside a day dedicated to reorienting themselves to that question. Sabbath was thus to be a recalibration of the spirit. By what standard do we make the decisions that we make every day? When we lived in Colorado Springs before, we lived down near Russell Middle School. And we had an older house, and the folks who had been there before us put a deck on the back of this house. But when they put the deck in, and I didn't know this because I don't know anything about carpentry. I got a C in wood shop. But when you do a deck, you're not supposed to use nails. You use screws. Why don't you use nails? Because in wood, this is what I'm told, that wood expands and contracts, and when it does that, the nails begin to loosen. Well, about every third week or so, I had to go out to the back of this deck because we had our kids were little at the time, and I had to go out there with a hammer and pound all the nails back in, those that had worked themselves loose, so that everything was snug and good and smooth again. Now, what a great metaphor. McDonald uses this and says that this repounding is what happens in our lives when we engage in worshiping God. Our spirits and our thought processes tend to get worked loose by the extreme forces around us every day. Sabbath helps us to become solid again, tight again, focusing on the truths of God, scripture, worship, fellowship with others in a community of faith. When we gather together to pray, to say the creeds, to sing the songs of faith, to hear God's word preached and read, we are, in some sense, hammering back the nails of our convictions and commitments. So think of your work here today, being here in this place, as hammering back the nails. You know that worship is work? The word liturgy comes from the Greek word liturgia, which literally means work of the people. This is our work, our Sabbath work. Not the labor kind of work, but the work of repounding those nails, becoming tight again, becoming connected once again to God. The book of Proverbs has a similar building metaphor to hammer this point home. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need each other. Now, some people will say to me, you know, Pastor Bob, I don't really need to be in church to worship God. I can worship God out on the golf course, you know, because it's very beautiful out there and I can be out there. I don't need to be here on Sunday morning. I always ask him the same question. So when you yell out Jesus Christ on the golf course, is that an act of praise or what? What is that? No, we need each other. That's why we're here. We know we can't do this alone. We need to encourage one another in faith and life. Sabbath, gathering together as God's people, gives us the opportunity to look ahead and look back, supporting one another in prayer, in love, and faith. Closing the loop, returning to eternal truths, and third, he says, Sabbath helps us to define our mission. When I was a young lieutenant in the Army, I was taught a very simple maxim very early in our training and about the order of things. It was three M's: mission, men, myself. Mission was primary over everything else. Caring for my men was second priority. Caring for myself was the third priority. The mission was always primary. And I, as a young lieutenant, as an infantry platoon leader, I had to make sure I taught my men that mission over and over again. So when everything went haywire, they still knew what they were supposed to do. That was to be ingrained in them. And that's not an easy task with infantrymen, because we're not the smartest people on the planet. We signed up to live in the mud, all right? Doesn't make us real bright to begin with. I used to carry around, this is absolutely a true story. I used to carry around a little bag of plastic army men in my rucksack. And when we would go on an operation, I would draw a little sand table on the ground representing the terrain we were about to go on. And every guy in my platoon had a little army man that represented them. Smitty, this is you. Jones, this is you. McDonald, this is you. And we'd all put the little men down on the sand table. And when we got to that operation, we'd say, now when this happens, where are you going to go? And each man would pick up his little army man and move it to where he was supposed to be. Dumb, right? But effective. They knew what the mission was. It was drilled into them over and over and over again. Everything we would do would be based on a simple sentence, a mission statement. Failure to understand the mission meant failure in general. Sabbath asks us the question about our mission. What is our mission in life? Indeed, what is your mission today? Do you know the purpose God has given you for your life? Have you prepared yourself to accomplish the mission that God has given you? Are you focused on that thing? I like the story I heard once about a monk who was heading into a walled city when he was confronted by a guard at the gate. And the guard stopped him and said, "Who are you and why are you here?" The monk said to him, "If I could, I would pay you to ask me those questions every day. Who are you and why are you here?" Those are Sabbath questions. Who are you? Why are you here? Jesus clearly took time every day to evaluate his mission. He withdrew to seek times of solitude and reflection. These were times of rest, but not the rest of sleep. Remember when Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, what do the disciples do? They pass out. They're done. This for Jesus was a rest of a different form. It was preparation for engaging in the next phase of his mission. It's no wonder that he met every new challenge with fresh wisdom and courage and energy. Jesus knew who he was and why he was here, and he knew this because he was always rested and ready. So in this sense, Sabbath isn't optional for us. Without it, we are prone to live lives that are strained, directionless, and disordered. So how do we practice Sabbath? Well, it doesn't happen by accident. God calls us to set aside a day where we cease the routine of our labor and intentionally work on reordering our lives. Sunday is a great day for this. You begin with the rhythm of worship at the start of the day. What would happen then, for example, if this afternoon, instead of hurrying out to some activity, you instead spent a few hours reflecting on the past week, closing the loop? What would happen if you spent some time repounding the nails of your spiritual life and pondering your mission as you prepare for a new week? Now, sure, you may want to work a nap in there too on Sunday afternoon. I love the Sunday afternoon nap. Oh, baby. You know, NASCAR, perfect for watching during a nap. Just a little tip, in case you're wondering. Throw on a race, they go round and round in circles, nothing much happens till there's a wreck, you know, but the drone of the engines and all that, it's perfect. Try it. Rest, but retool, reconnect, repound. Make it an active rest. Take a Sabbath. It's not optional if you want your private world to be ordered and at peace. Maybe you're facing a serious challenge in your life right now. And if you are, you don't need another piece of advice. You need Sabbath. We all need times to set aside, to think, to be, and to recognize that in Sabbath, earthly things assume their true size. Gain perspective. Don't wait for the right time. There's no better time than the present. And with Lent starting this week, this is a great time for you to begin a habit of Sabbath. I'm going to work really hard at that during this Lenten period time. I'm going to invite you to hold me accountable to that, and I'm going to invite you to join me in really creating that intentional time for God. We're commanded to do it for our own good. Let's pray together. God, thank you for giving us Sabbath. You have given us the opportunity, indeed the command, to take time apart, to reconnect with you, and to rest and be renewed. Teach us how to do Sabbath well. In the name of Christ, amen.